WUKY's Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine has the support of the Pain Treatment Center of the Bluegrass. The Pain Treatment Center specializes in acute and chronic pain management to help people live a pain-free life. More information at pain-ptc.com.
WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
The COVID pandemic has not only been a source of great stress and anxiety for grown-ups, but for kids as well. I recently spoke with Dr. Michelle Martel, professor of psychology in the UK College of Arts and Sciences, about anxiety in kids and adolescents during the COVID pandemic and some strategies that we can engage in to help make things better for them. Michelle, thank you very much for talking with me today. I was really interested in an interview that you had recently that was published in UK Now about anxiety in children, especially related to COVID. And we all know that the pandemic has taken a huge psychological toll on kids and adults, but I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the challenges specifically that kids are dealing with.
Yes, of course. So recent published research, in fact, aggregating across a number of studies during the COVID pandemic, have shown that children and adolescents have seen a doubling of their depression and anxiety, and those gains are most particularly focused in older adolescent girls and related to both depression and, in particular, social anxiety. And that's pretty consistent with what I see in my clinical work as well, such that especially while we were still in isolation and still under lockdown, a lot of teens in particular complained a lot about not being able to see their friends and feeling like it was hard to get up in the morning to do school remotely and over Zoom and things like that. And in addition, after teenagers acclimated to being remote, there was also a surge in increased social anxiety when it was time to go back into the classroom. So, you know, some kids who have a little bit more problem interacting with others, got a little relief when they were remote, especially after a while after they had acclimated into that. And so those kids also seemed a little stressed out going back into the classroom about, you know, what it was going to be like. And I think that was exacerbated by, you know, new protocols like having to wear a mask and anxiety about what their likelihood was of contracting COVID or having friends that were out sick. But I will say that now that we've been back for a while, at least here in Lexington, things seem to be improving. Kids and adolescents are pretty resilient, and they seem to be kind of settling back in and getting into the swing of things.
And I guess some of it could be also grade or age dependent, you know, thinking about some of those kids who really had not been pupils that long before the pandemic started, and to have their world sort of turned upside down.
Yes, I actually have a four-year-old in addition to a teenager, and yeah, it's been very different with her because she doesn't really remember very well a time before the pandemic. And I found with her, as long as I'm calm and stress-free, she tends to stay calm and stress-free. She's not a huge fan of masks, but we found fun masks that she's okay with wearing. And, you know, when I matter-of-factly put on my mask, she matter-of-factly puts on hers. So I think the experience for that group is very different. In some ways, maybe a little easier because they don't really remember what it was like before.
Well, and you've touched upon something that I wanted to ask you about. You know, here in the midst of all of this, we adults are oftentimes anxious, nervous, unsure of ourselves. What sort of things can we be doing to make life easier for those children in our care?
Exactly. So I talk to parents a lot about how less is more right now often. So if you're stressed out or worried, unless there's something that you can tell your child to do that's going to help, maybe try not to share that with your child. You talk to another adult, talk to friends, your partner, your child's teacher, or, you know, even we have great telehealth services. There's great telehealth therapy options right now. I find that kids really take the lead from their parents. So if you can model calmness and, you know, just matter-of-factly doing whatever safety precautions you feel like are helpful, your child will really just follow your lead. I also find one of the things we deal with a lot in clinical practice is parents will say, well, yeah, I've been doing that, but my child's still really anxious. Sometimes parents will forget and have the news on a lot, and I've found a lot of kids that come in talking about hearing these, you know, alarming stories on the news about, you know, deaths and hospitalizations and, you know, the pop-up morgues and things like that. And I'm like, well, you know, your child might, you know, they could be hearing it at school now that they're back, but also, you know, if you have your TV on a lot and you're not paying attention to what's on and they're seeing some of these stories on the news, that can increase anxiety, especially in kids that are already a little anxious about things. So just be mindful of what you have on.
Well, and speaking of having the news on, some recent news regarding the FDA looking at approving vaccines for kids 5 to 11 is that, as an adult and as a healthcare professional, of course, I'm excited and ecstatic about that. Is that something that may have a positive impact on kids' morale as well?
Yeah, I would think so. I know my teenager was super happy to be able to get her vaccine. You know, she felt like it was going to help protect her and it was going to lower her anxiety about going back to school, which she was really happy to do, so she could get to see her friends again. So yeah, I certainly think that that could be reassuring to some kids. I'll say my four-year-old, I don't think will be that excited because she's, you know, not excited about getting more shots, but it'll certainly give me peace of mind. And if it gives me peace of mind, I think I will be able to like transmit more calmness to her. So ultimately, I think it'll be a really positive factor for a lot of people. I think for a lot of people, just having, you know, knowledge about when that's coming down the pike. I know one of the things that I struggle with, I have a four-year-old, is like, I don't know when the four-year-olds are going to be able to get vaccinated. And that uncertainty, I think, is something that is hard for a lot of adults to deal with.
Yeah, I think it's hard for almost all of us. And perhaps I'm preaching to the choir to a psychologist, but I guess one of the best things we can do for helping the kids around us is to make sure that we help ourselves as well and address those issues of anxiety and uncertainty as best we can and get help when we need it.
Yes, definitely. And I tell people, you know, obviously, you know, there's a time and a place for a therapist and there's a time and a place to go have a night out with friends to the extent that you can do those things, you can afford it, that you have time to do those things. But there's also a lot you can do informally with, you know, both my teenager and my four-year-old and with clients I work with in clinical settings, kids and adolescents, you know, having just some part of your routine that you can stick with to the extent possible. So for us, it's like the bedtime routine, right? Like taking a bath before bed and reading books. This is with the four-year-old, obviously, you know, or with a teenager, just having, you know, dinner together as a family. You know, those things that you can keep in place that are, you know, kind of your family traditions or your family routine, that can be very reassuring to kids in and of themselves, regardless of their age. And having your own, you know, as adults, I think we, parents in particular, are terrible at this. Working adults are sometimes bad at this, but taking time for yourself, having your own routine. So for me, that's a cup of coffee in the morning and, you know, having time to read a book at night before bed after the kid, you know, after we're done with dinner, after the kids are asleep. Those things help me maintain my composure. So making sure that you have those things in place, not just for the kids to the extent that's possible, but also for you as the adult and the parent.
Amen to that. And Michelle, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd want to discuss before we part?
I always just like to give a shout out to what we call self-compassion. Just remember, you know, these continue to be difficult times, especially for, you know, people, like I said, with younger kids where, you know, they're still in that uncertainty phase. So just being compassionate to yourself, your kids, and also everyone else around you. You know, I think people, there's still people out there really struggling. So just, you know, staying mindful and trying to stay patient and compassionate and as calm as possible with your kids.
My thanks today to Dr. Michelle Martel, psychology professor in the UK College of Arts and Sciences, for talking with us about the disruption and social isolation of the COVID pandemic in kids and their subsequent anxiety and what we can do about it. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.